Hello once again and welcome to the Gary Zimak Show. My name is Gary Zimak. I'm going to be here for the next 30 minutes and I certainly hope you can stay with me for the entire program as this week we focus on the Mass readings for the Solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity, sometimes referred to as Trinity Sunday. You know, we are at a point in the church year. Technically speaking, we are in ordinary time, but the past, last week, this week, and next week, we're getting hit with a triple header of solemnities. Last week was Pentecost. Today is Trinity Sunday, or the Solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity, and next Sunday is the Solemnity of the Body and Blood of Jesus Christ. Corpus Christi is next week. So these are some big days. This is an exciting time. We're just coming off of the Easter season. So there's some really big celebrations that your church gives us. The Holy Trinity, this day, this is an important solemnity. I mean, obviously it's a solemnity, the highest holy day that the church has. So without a doubt, the church feels this is important. But I think that sometimes we overlook the importance, or maybe just fail to explore this great mystery of the Trinity. And I think that's a mistake. It can almost seem like a vague concept, can't it? The Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yeah, I kind of get it, but, you know, I don't really understand it. I want to read to you what the Catechism of the Catholic Church has to say about the Trinity. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says, "The mystery of the Most Holy Trinity is the central mystery of Christian faith and life. It is the mystery of God in Himself. It is therefore the source of all the other mysteries of faith, the light that enlightens them. It is the most fundamental and essential teaching." That's paragraph 234 of the Catechism. Obviously, this is important. This is an important concept to grasp. And you know, since it is a mystery, we're never going to be able to comprehend it all, but we can come close, you know, our understanding of the Trinity can be increased if we let the Holy Spirit guide us and we look at some of these readings, such as the ones that the church has selected for today. So that's my goal on this program, that we can somehow come to a greater appreciation of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and of how they relate to one another. Yes, they are three distinct persons. We don't want to lose sight of that fact. They are three persons, and they do communicate with one another. These readings are going to give us a little insight. So we will read these readings. But before we do, let's pray. And as I do, more often than not, we're going to address the prayer to the Father, but Jesus and the Holy Spirit will also be involved in the prayer. So we are going to really pray to the Trinity now, and I would ask you to join me in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, it is so good to be here with you again. I always love it when I get to speak to you as we lead this show off. It's an honor to be able to read your word over the airwaves and talk about it. Father, I ask you to help me today. This is a big task, talking about the Trinity. I know that you have a message for us today. I know that you would like to reveal something to us. So I ask you to please do that. Please use me as your instrument. Please speak through me. Send the Holy Spirit to come alive in me so that I can deliver the message that you would like me to deliver. Father, please open all of our hearts and minds to not only hear your words, spoken through Scripture and through my message, but to be willing to put these words into practice in our lives. Father, we ask these things in the most holy name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So did you see that? I mentioned all three persons of the Trinity in the prayer. And of course, we start off our prayers as Catholics, when we pray, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're constantly referring to the Trinity, or we're sort of immersed in that Trinitarian devotion, but we often don't stop and think about it. So that's why I'm glad that we're able to talk more about these readings. Before we get to the readings for Trinity Sunday, I want to just direct you to my website, followingthetruth.com. If you want to find out more information about the work that I do, if you want to find out about my daily podcast, I do a podcast Monday through Friday. It's 5 minutes each day. It's called Following the Truth with Gary Zimak. You can find out more about that on my website, followingthetruth.com. You can also sign up for my daily reflection, my email reflection, which is called Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. And I think you would enjoy that. That is free of charge. All you need to do is submit your email address and you will be all set. Followingthetruth.com. And finally, what else did I want to mention? My new book, Let Go of Your Fear, Choosing to Trust Jesus in Life's Stormy Times. You can find out about that as well at followingthetruth.com. So I guess that's about it for the news. Let's turn to these readings now. And again, I'm going to start off, as I always do each week on the program, with the gospel. And if you're a new listener, a relatively new listener, I do like to mention this from time to time. The teaching of the church is that the gospel has a place of prominence among all the books of the Bible. Every word in the Bible is inspired by God, so it's all God's word. However, the gospels are considered to be held in a higher position when it comes to the books of the Bible because they're the prime source of information about the life of Jesus Christ. So if we want to get to know Jesus, the Gospels are the place to start. And therefore, I always choose to lead off this program with the Gospel, because really what happens, if you look at the readings in ordinary time, the Gospels proceed sequentially, with the exception of solemnities. So with solemnities, you're going to get special Gospels. But for the most part, we're just going to follow through the Gospel each Sunday. And then the church chooses a first reading and a responsorial psalm to back up the gospel. They come from all over the place to support the theme mentioned in the gospel. And then there's a second reading, which proceeds sequentially, similar to the gospel. It's not necessarily related to the gospel, but I always like to, find some sort of connection, because I think you can always do that. That's why I like to let the Holy Spirit inspire me as to what I'm supposed to say. But the point I really wanted to make here is that I always lead off with the gospel. So we can get the for lack of a better word, but I guess it's legitimate, the most important message that the church wants us to get. So let's look at the gospel, John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. Jesus said to his disciples, "I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth." Now keep in mind, these words were spoken by Jesus prior to his death and prior to the sending of the Holy Spirit. So what he's saying is that I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit arrives, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears. He will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Now, I think one of the pitfalls that we can have when it comes to reading Scripture is we can get hung up in what we don't understand or what might be a little more confusing and miss what we do understand. That's why I always like to try to simplify whenever I can. I am by no means a Scripture scholar, but I do know that all of us, no matter what level we are at, can get something. The Lord can speak to us and does speak to us through Scripture. So oftentimes it can be a really simple message. Essentially, what I'm getting from this is the relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are all mentioned in this gospel passage. And the idea that the Holy Spirit is sent to guide us to all truth. So one of the prayers that I pray every day, and again, remember, this is Trinity Sunday, so we're involving the Trinity here, is that I ask the Holy Spirit, and absolutely, you should when it comes to your prayers, speak to each person of the Trinity. Don't get crazy about how much time you spend with each person. That's one of my hang-ups that I always have to try to overcome. Oh, I have to spend the same amount of time with the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. You'll drive yourself crazy by doing that. One of the prayers that I pray to the Holy Spirit every day is, please make the Father and Jesus more real to me. And that's one of the functions of the Holy Spirit. He's got a lot of functions. Two of the most important practical functions of the Holy Spirit, number one, is to make the Father and Jesus more real to us. Because oftentimes, when we struggle through life, when we meet the various challenges of our daily lives, the Father and Jesus just aren't real enough to us. And we can easily become immersed or overwhelmed by the problems that we face on a daily basis. So the Holy Spirit can make the Father and Jesus more real to us. Not more real, because they're as real as they can get, but to us. So that even though they're invisible, we'll be able to perceive their presence as we go throughout the day. So that's a great prayer that we can all make. And that's how it's one of the ways the Holy Spirit guides us to all truth. Of course, the other function of the Holy Spirit that I think is very practical is to transform us into the image of Jesus, so that our lives bear the good fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. According to St. Paul, they're the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit can transform us into the image of Jesus. So that's another way that we can focus on all 3 persons of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit will guide us to all truth. One of the main ways that the Holy Spirit does that is through the church. And as Catholics, we're blessed with a magisterium of our church who gives us an authoritative body of teaching as revealed by Jesus Christ to his apostles and then handed down over the ages. And we're blessed to have that. Most Christian denominations no other Christian denomination really has that, and that's why there's so much splintering in the body of Christ, because there's disagreements over this passage or that passage of Scripture. The church helps us. Now, the church doesn't tell us line by line in the Bible what exactly the meaning is, but there are certain guidelines the church gives us. That's why I was glad that I was able to read from the Catechism of the Catholic Church at the beginning of this program, talking about the mystery of the Trinity. And that's a gift. That's a gift given to us by the Holy Spirit to prevent us from falling into error. Because it's very easy to look at a Bible passage and interpret it your way, thinking, well, this is what I think the Holy Spirit's telling me, and then me interpreting it in an opposite way, thinking that, well, that's what the Holy Spirit is telling me. But you can't have multiple conflicting truths. And that's where the Holy Spirit working through the church, in addition to working in each member of the church, you and me, that's why that can be very, very helpful. So we see that mission of the Holy Spirit. Now let's look at the first reading from today's Mass. It's from the book of Proverbs, chapter 8, verses 22 through 31. Thus says the wisdom of God, the Lord possessed me, the beginning of his ways, the forerunner of his prodigies of long ago. From of old I was poured forth at the first before the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains or springs of water, before the mountains were settled into place, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet the earth and the fields were not made, nor the first clods of the world. When the Lord established the heavens, I was there. When he marked out the vault over the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he fixed fast the foundations of the earth, when he set for the sea its limit, so that the waters should not transgress his command, then was I beside him as his craftsman, and I was his delight day by day, playing before him all the while, playing on the surface of the earth, and I found delight in the human race. A lot of, I would say, somewhat confusing language in that first reading, but here's what I get out of this, and I think it's a message for all of us to really consider, that before the universe existed, the Trinity, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit existed. Now, note that I said the Son and not Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ, some 2,000 years ago, came into existence. He was born into this world. He took on a human body. But the Son, the second person of the Trinity, existed before the beginning of time. And that, you know, I know that's a hard concept for us to understand, but we see this representation in this first reading of creation. Creation is a work of all three persons of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I don't think you can pursue it more than that if you want to, but I think that's a good enough foundation to get you started. This idea of the Trinity existing from the beginning of time, or before the beginning of time, however you want to say that. Again, a tough concept for us to wrap our brains around, because we are creatures who live in time. So it's hard to think of the fact that time was created by God. But know that the Trinity has always existed. The Trinity has always existed. And that at one point in time, the second person of the Trinity, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. And that's when Jesus Christ entered into our world to lead us back to the Father, to repair that relationship problem that was damaged through the original sin of Adam and Eve. Let's look at the Psalm, Psalm 8. O Lord our God, how wonderful your name in all the earth. And so we're going to see a reference again to creation, to God's creation. When I behold your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you set in place. See, that kind of ties into that first reading. What is man that you should be mindful of him, or the son of man that you should care for him? In other words, who am I? Who am I to be able to have this conversation with God, to be able to know God through my intellect and through faith, and to be placed in a world where I can see evidence of him? You know, we do have to look for it, but we can certainly see evidence of God's creative power when we look at the mountains or the ocean, all of which, the stars up in the sky, all of which were created by him. And who am I that I'm able to, and me too, and you look at other people too, we were all created by God, not because he needed us, but because he loves us so much that he desired to be in a relationship with us. And in order to establish that relationship, he had to create us first. You have made him little less than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him rule over the works of your hands, putting all things under his feet. And we can look at this in a couple of different ways. We can look at it as the incarnation of Jesus coming into the world and really being our king. You know, next week we'll celebrate the body and blood of Christ. Christ was, he reigned from a cross, and that's a really hard concept for us to come to grips with. His kingdom was sort of an invisible kingdom. He was a king. He was given authority even over the forces of evil. He defeated the devil when he died on the cross and rose from the dead. However, until he comes again in glory, evil is going to exist. He has decided, for whatever reason, mainly because he has given us free will, he wants us to have free will, to allow evil to remain until he comes again in glory to do away with it. So we can look at this reading and see an image of Jesus Christ crowned with glory and honor. He has rule over the works of your hands, putting all things under his feet. But we can also look at that in another sense of you and I having control over the earth. We are here. We were placed in this earth. We didn't choose to be born. That was God's call. But we are given control over the things of the earth. If we want to take care of the land, if we want to treat animals kindly, you know, that we have dominion over the earth, over the creatures. Man has been given this gift. So it's kind of an awesome responsibility that we've been given. And also, man has been given the ability men and women have been given the ability to cooperate with God in the process of creation. I mean, that's mind-boggling if you think about it. A man and a woman, with the help of God, you know, they're not doing it by themselves, but they can create new life. That is an awesome responsibility. And you go back to that previous verse that we read. Why? What is man that you should be mindful of him? You know, who are we? What an honor. All sheep and oxen, yes, and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fishes of the sea, and whatever swims the path of the seas. Again, man has that dominion over the less important creatures, you know, and the things of the earth. The Lord has given us that ability to have dominion over those other creatures. So let's look at the second reading. This is St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Brothers and sisters, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith to this grace which we stand. And we boast in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we even boast of our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces endurance, and endurance, proven character, and proven character, hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. And I think the main message of this second reading comes in that very last verse. The love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit and has been given to us. Two reasons why that's important. We again see the Holy Spirit delivering that love of God. Now, I look at that as in a couple of different ways, both of which are very important. Through the work of the Holy Spirit in me, I'm able to understand, or even imperfectly understand, but understand somewhat, the love of God for me. The Holy Spirit allows me, helps me to love, to appreciate and understand, not perfectly, but somewhat understand, God's love for me. Because it's so big, it's so hard to grasp sometimes, that you need that help from the Holy Spirit to understand and to be able to perceive God's love for you and me as an individual. And then, furthermore, that love of God, which has been poured out into our heart by the Holy Spirit, is I am able to take that love and share it with others. And to really, to love God and love other people with God's love, his unconditional, perfect love that has been given to me. Now, do I always love God and love other people with a perfect, unconditional love? No. But that doesn't mean I don't have that ability. So through the Holy Spirit, I have the ability to choose to love others in the way that Jesus loved them, which was a self-sacrificial love. He gave himself, even for those who were putting him to death. I have that capacity, and I think it's good for us to remember that. I think that when we struggle to forgive somebody or to love somebody, somebody we don't understand or we don't like or somebody who hates us, I think, should remember what the Lord has given us. He's poured out his own love into our heart so that we can choose to love that person. We don't always feel that love, but we can choose to love that person. So in these readings today, as we bring this program to a close, we see references, somewhat veiled, especially in that first reading and even in the responsorial psalm, to all three persons of the Trinity. And you know, like again, some of these readings, don't get hung up in what you don't understand about them. Try to appreciate or take something away, like at least one message from each of the readings, and then try to tie them together into one takeaway, if you want to call it that. And really, today is all about the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They all have different roles. They are all God. They are three persons, but one God. Again, that's a tough concept, and that's one that we really have to really to sort of understand and accept by faith. We're never fully going to be able to comprehend it, but we can understand the concept. There's a Father, there's a Son, and there's a Holy Spirit. They make up the Trinity, and we are able to have a relationship with each person of the Trinity. All right? Think about that the next time you make the sign of the cross, because you are going to enter into that loving relationship with all three persons of the Trinity. All right, I'm getting ready to run. I want to thank you for spending this these 30 minutes with me. Please remember, if you're able to support my ministry financially, summer's a tough month. That's a tough few months. So I could really use any financial help you want to send my way so that I can keep this ministry going. FollowingTheTruth.com is the place to go to make a secure donation. You can make that secure donation via PayPal, and I would really appreciate it. I appreciate your prayers. I appreciate your kind words, and I appreciate you spending time with me each week on this program. I want you to know that I always keep you in my prayers, and I would ask you to keep me in your prayers as well. And as always, if you have questions, you can email me directly at Gary@followingthetruth.com. That's Gary@followingthetruth.com. And I would be happy to hear from you. I'd be happy to hear what you think about the program. I'd be happy to try my best to answer any questions that you may have. If you have any special prayer requests, you can send them my way. And again, I do pray for you, but if you have a specific request, I can certainly add that to my prayer list. It means a lot. It means a lot that you spend the time with me each week. And I'm also grateful to the numerous Catholic radio stations who carry this program. I'm also grateful to the podcast services, which provide the show as a podcast. Okay, I'm really going to run now. Thanks again for listening. God willing, I hope to be back with you next week right here on the Gary Zimak Show. I hope you have a fantastic week. And try to keep in mind the Trinity as you go throughout the week, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Guess what? They all love you. Have a great week. God bless.